Erev Tov, Rabotai. Good evening. I will try, Bezat Hashem, to wrap up the sugya tonight. Tonight's going to be the juiciest, so you can give it over. But I really, even for those who are not here, I'm very okay with that. But I do very much recommend everybody to hear this shiur because it's that important. Now, we've spoken about extensively the background of Beit Yosef meat in halacha, in the industry, how things are marketed, why things are marketed like that, different minhagim that existed among Bnei Sfarad and Bnei Ashkenaz. Sometimes we found Ashkenazim adopting Beit Yosef meat like the Sfaradim. Where was that? Yerushalayim. And then sometimes we have Sfaradim adopting Ashkenazi meat, kasher or glut in some lands, like we've spoken about. But everybody agrees that once you have this kind of superior meat, according to Maran, that's available, it would kind of be a crying shame to rely on something other than that, especially when Maran refers to it based on a Rashba in such a strong language. Like we said, kilu ma'achil terefot li'sen, it's not a joke. And Baruch Hashem, there is, I wouldn't say like tons, like a surplus, but, you know, legitimate, and I use that word very specifically, legitimate Beit Yosef is quite available, not in all places. It's not available in all places, like in New York, obviously, in the tri-state area, it's easier to get than in Florida, I would assume. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it really depends. Kol lefi hazman v'lefi hamakom. But a person should try as much as possible to get it. Now, like we said, I'm not going to say it on recording, but if you want to know, I do have lists of what, you know, like I said, not getting too much into detail, but things that I consider based on research with Rabbanim Makhshirim and Shochatim and Botkim on the inside, recommended lists of what I consider to be legitimate Beit Yosef, as opposed to other things that are marked as Beit Yosef that I wouldn't necessarily recommend. And everybody's entitled to their opinion and recommendation, then it's fine. So if you ever want that, you can see me and you know, I can give you that. That's not an issue. Now, there are situations, many situations, especially in the life of a single Sephardi boy, where whether or not he's going to get Beit Yosef meat is beyond his control. Meaning, there are many times where, for instance, easiest example, you're in yeshiva, you gotta eat. Either the yeshiva has a kitchen, or it has meal plans, or whatever it is, and you know, you're limited, you can't always, you know, if you can go out and buy and cook and whatever for yourself, matov manaim. But most times in yeshiva, that's not an option. Or you're going away for Shabbat, you're being invited for Shabbat, or for Yom Tov, or to Seudat Mitzvah, or to Chatuna, or whatever. Not always is the standard of meat that you're used to always available. So what do you do now? Easiest thing to say is, well, don't eat. It's not always practical. That's not always what should be done. Yet not always in halakha do we say, okay, don't eat. No, maybe sometimes halakha says you should eat. And on the contrary, especially if in yeshiva, you have to eat. I'm not saying you always have to eat meat or whatever, but you got to eat proteins. You know, protein is very important for a person's development and keeps your mind sharp and keeps your cells regenerating. I don't have to tell anybody in pre-med here. So protein's important. If you're only eating carbs and garbage, then you're going to look, act, and feel like garbage. So you have to, there's a totally different shiur. Maybe we'll have a series on the Rambam's diet. Maybe it's kedai to have once you learn it, it's very hard to keep, but it's kedai. Anyway, mikol makom, staying on topic, not always is not eating an option. So, comes Maran Zichrono Bracha, Ba'al HaYortzeit, tomorrow night. Is there anything in the works for tomorrow night? To ask Yaakov.
Yeah, I think there might be. I forgot to ask Yaakov for
nothing. Okay, tomorrow night's the Yortzeit of Maran Zichrono Bracha. Ninth Yortzeit, big stuff. So, by the way, Stam, just putting it out there, everybody's invited tomorrow night at Ol Simcha. We have a joint siyum on Masechet Ketubot and the Yortzeit for Maran Zichrono Bracha. That's earlier on in the night. That's from 8 to 9:30. Everyone's invited to Ol Simcha if you want to come join the festivities. But otherwise, if there's something here, you let me know. I'd be glad to join. Kol Makom, Yeah, I was happy. They made a, you remember, they made a yard site for the Ben Yishchai. So, anyway, Mikol Makom, Rabotai, Manan Zichron Lebracha has a famous tshuva. And Yabi Omer, Cheleke, Yored Da'a, Siman Gimal. Remember, he writes over there that this is a famous tshuva. And for in situations like these, where we'll call it situations beyond control, you can't control what the yeshiva serves. You cannot control when you go away for Shabbat or when you go to a simcha or whatever, what people are serving you. You can't control that. So we'll call those bidi'avad situations. And bidi'avad situations, which are situations that... And guess what? You know something? I'll give you another example of a situation that you can't always control. Eating at home. Yeah? Plenty of people who eat at home, and their parents aren't necessarily makbid on Bet Yosef. It's okay. And they keep kosher, but they're not necessarily makbid on Bet Yosef for whatever reason. That's also, to a certain extent, a situation that you can't control. Yeah, it's not... You live there, it's not your house, you can't, you don't make the rules, you can put in a request, but it's not necessarily can you always make the rules. So over there, what is a Sephardi Bachur, or even Sephardi married man, or whatever stage in life supposed to do in these situations? So, Maran Zichron Lebracha famously uses one of his most famous tools of psika, which is the concept of Safek Svika. Beautiful. Now, you know where we're going with this. Safek Svika, just a quick background into this mechanism. Safek Svika is actually first, it's mentioned all over the Shas, but the Ikara Sugya is Masechet Ketubot, which we're just finishing now in Daf Yomi, Daf Tet Amud Aleph and Tet Amud Bet. Over there, those are the Sugyot of Safek Svika. Now, the flash. Now, Bikitsu, so, that's the guy who runs fast, right? Anyway, Bikitsu, everything's borrowed from the Torah. Naftali Ayala Shlucha. Naftali, Ben Yaakov Avinu was the flesh. Avalma, they stole it. Mikol Makom. So, you have a Safek Svika is when you have a double doubt. Not always is it a double doubt, but it's usually in the context of the later poskim, it's a combination of two shitot, or two factors, that alone may not have been enough to be Mekel, but together, it gives you enough basis to be Mekel. Now, don't get me wrong, there's safek svekot leachmir as well. But I'm not talking about those right now. I'm talking about safek svekot lehakel. Now, what does that mean over here? Listen carefully. Maran Zichron Lebracha actually quotes, even Gedolei HaPoskim, Poskim Kadmonim, that speak about the same safek sveka. It's actually brought by Dvar Shmuel, Rabbeinu Shmuel Abohav, the son of Rabbeinu Yitzhak Abohav, the last Gaon of Castilia in Spain. So his son, Dvar Shmuel Abohav, talks about this. Bachrim, Sephardi Bachrim, will go to eat in yeshiva, and they don't have chalak available. They have, in those times, they didn't even have glat available. What do they have available? Kasher, Leda'at Rama. So the question was, are Bachurim Sephardim, that in general are bound by the rulings of Maran HaShulchan Aruch, is there any kula for them to consume the meat when they go? Now in yeshiva, they didn't used to have, in general, when they used to go learn, they didn't always have a kitchen in the yeshiva. They used to kind of eat out at people's houses, people used to host them and stuff like that. Not only on Shabbatot, but even on regular days. What do you say?
I don't know if you've covered this, but why is there no chalak by birds, chickens, or...
That's a very, very good question. And the answer to that is because the Rama himself only employed his heter of, you remember, gentle rubbing, only by mature animals, which is cows and things like that. But by young animals... By definition, the Rama says not to be mekel over there. Therefore, if it's glat, now what are young animals? Veal, lamb, young animals, chicken. Also, the Rama doesn't. All these things. If it says glat, by definition, glat kosher by these animals means chalak ledat Maran Bet Yosef. There could be other kashrut concerns according to Maran, but in terms of chalakut re'ah, when something is certified as glat by young animals like lamb and veal, no issue whatsoever. Chicken, same thing. The only issue, the only machloket that Maran and Rama had is by mature animals like bakar, like by meat, beef.
But how is chicken, chickens are young, they're all
old. He because over there chickens are per capita healthier than animals. And therefore, the Rama never extended his heter to chickens. Only to mature beef, to cows and stuff like that. What do you want to ask? Yeah.
But I've seen like stores like lamb chops, mm-hmm. BSF around it. So is that?
That's a joke. Huh? It's a joke. It's like saying cream cheese is chalak bet Yosef. Let's not forget, bet Yosef is a halachic term with Beit Yosef is a sefer, but it's a halachic term by meat. What is it used for today? It's also a marketing technique. You know, anybody here taking marketing? Whatever. So it's also a way to market. Yeah. Beit Yosef. No. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
So whatever these things are improperly marked Beit Yosef, are they still Beit Yosef? Like, are they glad?
Like what?
Are they still kosher?
One second. Like what?
Like veal.
So it's not going to be not kosher, chas v'shalom. It's just a misuse of the term.
But it still has the standards.
Yeah. Again, there are better companies. I'm talking about the lung issue right now. There's other standards for different shchitot and different companies, but that's different halachot. In terms of the lung, if it's glat, it's Beit Yosef by veal and lamb. Verstehst? Zil. And if you see it marked, if you see veal or lamb marked Beit Yosef, laugh, because it's a joke. It doesn't make any sense. Anyway, maybe tell the butcher, because people don't chop. Oh, wow, great. But now, back to the Safek Sveka that the Dvar Shmuel Abohav says. He says there's room to be mekel to consume this, which is as follows. If anybody can just give me a 2-minute warning before Avit. So, number one, perhaps this animal is actually Chalak Beit Yosef, because you don't know. It could be lower, especially if we're talking about Basar Kashir that the Ramah was talking about. It could be lower, but it could be better. It just, when something is kasher, when they have meat that's kasher, it means it's kasher and above. It could be above. Just what? The Ramah was more mekel to allow lower standards of things. But what? It could technically have had a lung that was chalak l'da'at manana Beit Yosef. That's safek number one.
Just one lung?
Huh?
Just one lung?
What do you mean?
Both lungs.
No, there's only, animal only has one lung. There's two, I mean, there's two parts of the lung, but there's only there's two lobes of the lung, but one lung. Yeah. So now, as follows, Bikitsu, and it looks very different than a human lung. A human lung, if you look at it, looks like kind of a walnut. It's on two sides of your spine, and they're bigger, and it's lying in a different position than an animal. It's a different color, also. Anyway, because animals don't smoke, so they're much lighter. Anyway, Bikitsu, so don't smoke. That's very unhealthy. We should do another thing on. Manan Zichron Berachah has a few tshuvot on smoking. I don't even need to talk about other forms of smoking, but just smoking, you know, cigarettes and stuff like that in halacha, whether it makes you pasul. We're looking at him. It's a bachur tov.
I was kidding.
No, it's a bachur tov. Now he says b'kitzur. So now he's chubi. Now, how do you say bachur in Persian? Guy.
Guy?
We're boy. I know.
Boy is pesa.
To mikol makom. So that's safek number one. Safek number two, listen carefully, is perhaps even if it's not chalak l'da'at manan Beit Yosef, maybe halacha, you know, when you have a machloket manan v'ramah, does that mean the ramah is wrong? Or anytime you have a machloket between poskim, you happen to go with one posek. That doesn't make the other posek wrong. Manan Zichron Berachah discusses, he calls it atu tana'e shakalt me'alma, you're just going to delete him because manan argues on it? Ma pitom. It's a legitimate machloket. We have to. You can only pask in one way. But that doesn't illegitimize the other posek. So maybe his shita is right. We don't know. We happen to go with Da'at Maran because we're in Olam Hazeh. You can only follow one, but maybe he's right. Therefore, as a result of that safek sfeka, the halacha is you're allowed to consume that meat. Now, let me tell you another. Yeah.
Sorry. The first sad for this safek sfeka is.
Maybe it's actually chalak.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but the way, I guess, the industry is now.
Oh, you're asking a good question. You're asking a good question, and I'm not going to let you ask it because I don't want to get there yet, and then I'm going to ask it for you. How's that? Give me a second. Yeah, go ahead.
Once we say we pass it, so once you pass it like Moran,
yeah.
then that's what we hold in the halacha. It's like that. Like, we can't put Ashkenaz to fill it when it's pasul to us.
Correct.
Halacha is like Moran, you know, or like Rash, whatever it is.
But you said a very important word now. It's pasul for us. Is Ashkenaz tefillin pasul?
No, it's for us.
So therefore, it's chazit. Since we view it as pasul, there are other shitot out there, so we're going to take that and join it to other factors to combine it to make a new yesod ba'alacha that we can rely on. That's the power, the mechanism of safek sfeka ba'alacha. Now, that being said, let me ask you a question. Sometimes, if you make these safek sfekot, it's easy enough to find out if the, what was the first thing? Maybe it's chalak, maybe it's not. Why don't you just ask the ba'al habayit? Why don't you just ask the person who's serving you, or the Baal HaSimcha, or whatever it is. It's a very interesting Chidushei HaRashba in Masechet Chulin that the Yabi Omer brings down, and he says, it's machlok taposkim. But the Rashba holds, and Rov HaRishonim hold like this Rashba, that when you have a legitimate safek sfeka, you don't need to be mevarir. You do not need to do further research. You don't need to ask. If you have a legitimate safek sfeka, that exempts you. You're allowed to rely on it even without doing any further research, as easy as that research would be. Now, sometimes the research is not easy. It's uncomfortable. Can you imagine somebody invites you for Shabbat and you start interrogating them about what company meat they use? And it's uncomfortable. If it's your house or whatever, okay, big deal. You know what I'm saying? But in other people's house, or imagine going over to the Baal HaSimcha at his wedding, whatever. Oh, by the way, what meat? Sometimes it's shelo b'makom, you know? It's like inappropriate even. So not only when it's difficult or inappropriate, but the Rashba holds, the Abi Omer brings him an halacha, that even when it is appropriate and even when it's easy to find out, you're allowed to rely on the safek sfeka to the extent that you don't need to do any further research. V'chein halacha l'maaseh. Yeah.
Sorry, does
Rabbi
Ma'aman repeating the safek sfeka? Was it? Was there a left
answer on? Why don't somebody else jump in?
Maybe.
What's the safek sfeka? Start it.
Maybe it is all I've ever said.
Okay.
And the second side is...
And even if not?
Maybe the halacha is like...
Like the Rama in those poskim. Maybe the lung was actually completely clean.
But you're just not sure.
Correct. I don't have the lungs. I wouldn't know. And guess what? And even if you ask the guy and he says, no, it's not Bet Yosef, the guy doesn't have the lung either. He doesn't know which cow, the meat from this cow, you know, what lung to pair it up with. You don't get the lung of the cow, so you have no idea. It could very well be that meat that we don't really get kosher meat anymore. And for all intents and purposes, and I say this with achrayut, b'shem ha-poskim, that nowadays, meat that is marked under glut, meat that is marked kosher, should be considered non-kosher. Not because of the lung issue, but because of many other issues with the shechita and with other things that go on in the slaughterhouse. So understand what I said. Meat that's marketed as kasher nowadays should be treated as non-kosher. We should only treat glut and above as kosher. Verstehst? Kacha. Yeah. Who says we can?
That's
another series. You're gonna have to request that. Anyway, Bikitsur, yeah. I'm telling you, put him in early because they're coming in. So you gotta talk to Yaakov or whoever's taking care of it and put in your request. Each series, Be'erich, I can probably condense depending on the topic, but usually condense it to three shiurim. So which is about a week. So anything you want to talk about?
What's on the lineup so far?
We have a bunch of interesting stuff. We have some good stuff. But whatever you want to talk about, we can talk about. You know, Yichud by dating is another very popular topic. Dating in general, halachot of dating. Not only Yichud. It's Tachlis. Teira. You got no Teira. Yeah, what's the shadow?
Rav mentioned that we had the whole idea of all the tripot not being a problem by the Chacham is because of the Rav.
Well, not being a problem, but not having to check for them.
Because of the Rav.
Yeah.
But the Rav could, we could have a different Rav. We know statistics now more than ever. We could have a different, we can know what the Rav is. It could change, you know? Why don't we say that now?
Yeah, but still, the Rav behemot kshirot, it didn't change.
It's still...
It always is. Most of the animals in the world will always be kosher, in terms of these tripot. Now, I just want to get out this last point, and then I'll take Gabi's question. So that's the safek sfeka. Based on that safek sfeka, why do we ever even have to keep Bet Yosef? Why, when we go shopping for ourselves, do we have to keep Bet Yosef? Doesn't safek sfeka dictate, hey, if it's good enough to allow me to eat in yeshiva, or to eat at a wedding, or an Ashkenazi friend for Shabbat, or whatever it is, isn't it good enough to allow me to go shopping? I'll just get the glatz, safek sfeka. What's the answer to that?
I'm supposed to rely on it. When you're already in the situation.
Oh, like I said, safek sfekot are meant to be relied on lefi aposkim in bidiavad situations. Bidiavad in general in halacha means post facto. Over here it doesn't mean post facto. Bidiavad over here means a situation that is beyond your control. In yeshiva setting, as a guest, at a wedding or whatever it is, or even at home sometimes, in your parents' home, it can be a situation beyond your control. But when you're buying something for yourself, or here's another one. You go to a restaurant, and you know they have on the menu something that is non-Bet Yosef. Can you order it? Safek sfeka. No. Once again, what are you doing? You are actively, that's already lechatchila. You're putting yourself into the situation where you'll have to rely on the safek sfeka. Over there, it's asur. If somebody, let's say, is taking you out and paying for you, shamati. And by the way, if there are other things on the menu that don't require compromising on halak Bet Yosef, it's probably better to go with that. Is that what you're going to ask?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, now again, at a wedding also, or at an Ashkenazi friend's house for Shabbat, let's say they have chicken. Does that mean that you can't eat the meat? No, eat it. It's a beseder. If a person doesn't want to rely on the suffix fakan, only eat the chicken or whatever it is, that's fine. You have perfect heter, a perfectly legitimate heter to eat the meat in these settings as well. But that's if you are being hosted by others. If you're treating yourself, you don't have such a heter. You can't do that. Yeah?
So let's say you're by yourself. You should go out of your way to ask the mashkiach or if the food's by yourself or not?
In a restaurant?
In a restaurant, let's say?
In a restaurant, yeah.
Of course you should.
And let's say you can't get out of it, like you're ordering for you, or like you said, you should make sure to not ask, because otherwise you're going to put yourself in.
Either that, or you know, if you're in that situation and you want to avoid it, so order things that don't require, order a chicken, order something like that, or again, it's not a chiyuv, but may cut a din, you want to rely on the suffix vika. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
If you're in this bidyabat situation and yeah, they have beef,
yeah,
they also offer chicken.
Okay.
Does the suffix vika like
yes,
go over the beef, or should
still
you
applies.
Chicken?
Still applies. You want to be mahmir on yourself, that's okay. If you're in the mood for meat and you don't happen to want to be machmir, you want to rely on the suffix fika, the fact that there are other options available does not diminish the suffix fika that applies to the meat. Now, Eitan wanted to ask a very important question before, is that in previous generations where there wasn't such a segregation and there wasn't such a demand, so I hear the suffix fika. Nowadays, if you see what goes on in slaughterhouses, what costs more? Kasher or glat? Glat. What costs more, glat or bet Yosef? So what do you think they're doing the plants? No. They're segregating them. They're separating them because they know once they... A cow that came out kasher, they're going to put it there. A cow that came out glat, they know they can get more money for that. They can sell it for more. No, even... I'm saying from a business perspective, they want to do that because they can sell it for more. Bet Yosef also. So over there... So what does that do to the suffix fika? Why? Because if it's already not marketed as Bet Yosef, what's that telling you? It's not, because if it was Bet Yosef, they would have marketed it as such. No? So the suffix fika is gone. I've heard this question actually when I was learning in Yechavedat in Yerushalayim from Agon Rabbi Gideon Ben Moshe, one of the Rosh Kolos over there. He asked this question. I didn't hear a massive answer, but what I can say is one thing. Sometimes Glat and Bet Yosef do sometimes get mixed together such that there is a... That it's not, if kasher gets mixed up with glat, that's a problem. But if glat and bet Yosef get mixed up, that's much less of a problem in the eyes of the hashgachot. And therefore, there is still a nice possibility that that can happen, number one. Number two is that Maran Zichrono Bracha, when he wrote the tshuva, and even in his later years where he spoke about this safek svika many times, he was aware of, he had, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, Maran Zichrono Bracha, had a kashrut of his own, but that's Bet Yosef in Israel. That was the name of the kashrut. And he knew the ins and outs of the, you know, of the meat industry, and he knew that they segregated, and yet he still considered it a legitimate safek svika. How does that answer the question? There's not such a great answer, but suffice it to say that la'alacha ul-ma'aseh, the safek svika is still present, is still chai v'kayam. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a mitzvah to always eat in these situations. If you can get out or whatever, it's all up to you, but know that there is a heter available. Now, sometimes I would actually be, and people flip out when they hear this, I would be more mekel on meat in certain situations than other foods that are being served, such as I'd be more mekel as a result of the safek svika with regards to meat in Bet Yosef. Everybody, when it comes to meat, everybody's hypersensitive to kashrut. That's already in our DNA. But I wouldn't be so quick to necessarily rely, grain products because of hadash or other products that have other kashrut concerns that don't have legitimate... So, you have what I'm saying? Sometimes I would eat the meat somewhere, even though it's not necessarily Bet Yosef based on Safek Svekot, and not eat other products, as Be'ezat Hashem will discuss in other series, because of other concerns that could arise, other halachic issues that you can't necessarily always solve with Sfekis Svekot for certain reasons. You have what I'm saying? So you have to really keep your eyes open. This is basically more or less the sugya and how to navigate it. Any questions? Yeah.
The Rav mentioned that the first topic is whether if it's Bet Yosef or not.
Mm-hmm.
That could arrested, you're not a liar, even if it is or not. So
correct.
The suffix would still be there, even if it's marked in a, if you're in a restaurant and you don't know, you're not a liar. So.
You don't have to be you don't have to be mevarer when the safek sfeka applies to you. The safek sfeka applies to you in a bidyavad situation. But when you're putting yourself in the situation, which is a lachatchila, and therefore you shouldn't really be relying on the safek sfeka, you can't say, I don't have to be mevarer. It doesn't work like that.
So whenever you have
because otherwise, like we said before, then Sfaradim shouldn't have to keep it Yosef. And I have to tell you, Maran Zichron Recha was very, very vocal his whole life. Always push Sfaradim have to keep it Yosef, always. And Baruch Hashem, it's become in... It took much longer to make its way to America than it did in Israel. Baruch Hashem, it made, and there is, you know, people have become exposed and knowledgeable about it, and they ask. So now once, you know, the purveyors, the people who sell, know, everything's Bet Yosef. Everything, yeah, everything's, the bread's Bet Yosef, everything, akol Bet Yosef. Everything's Bet Yosef. Why? Because they know it sells. So you have to be very careful and use your judgment and... Yeah, you don't have to be ashamed. Sometimes, I don't know why, people get like timid, like ashamed when it comes to kashrut. I don't ask too many questions. Why? You know, when it comes to anything, you buy anything else, you go, you know, you go to buy you go to buy a car, you ask questions. You buy property, you ask questions. When it comes to your neshama, all of a sudden everybody's all shy. Don't work like that. You don't have to be shy. Ask, you're the customer. The customer's always right, at least in this country. Yeah.
Some of these places get really defensive.
That's a problem.
I was in a bakery and asked if it was Yashin, and they started roasting me. Like, my son's from the
UVs. So I said to somebody else the other day, this is not a halachic thing, this is just this is from a psychological perspective. If you ask somebody a legitimate question and they start getting all defensive on you, psychologically, what does that tell you? Something's off. Something's wrong. Shouldn't be like that. If you're confident and your product is good, answer confidently. Relax. What if you feel the need to get defensive, that means you feel like you're getting attacked. You only feel like you're getting attacked when you're threatened. If you're threatened, that means you have something to hide. Keep that in mind, Rabbatai. Think about that. Laila Tov. See you tomorrow afternoon, Bezat Hashem.